The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. There's a mashup Wednesday where we join two shows together. We join On the Clock with Aaron Green with Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. And of course, in studio today, we have Ian Munnings, who's our resident guest host. And of course, Aaron Green is with us. And we are analyzing the news. We are selecting top stories. What does that mean? What is the intention behind that? So I will go as far as make it an open line show, just in case you want to us to analyze or give commentary on something that is pressing you. But we have one or two things that we found entertaining on social media, with trending in certain news, that we want to give our spin on. In the future, Aaron, I want you and I to analyze and give commentary on this gray carbon credit. I know we've been battering the topic around, but we haven't committed to it. And when I say gray carbon credit, you give the information because I forget the name.
Right, so I use the term gray carbon credit because I think that's what the term they're going to use for all of those concrete and building materials, concrete type and building materials, like hemp concrete composite materials that sequester and capture carbon dioxide. I think they're going to call that whole realm the gray carbon credit. And the project that we were looking at, Rick Fox, coming out of COP26. I think that's a gray carbon credit project.
And as everybody knows in the Bahamas, our prime minister, the Bahamas, has committed to the environment. Mm-hmm. We are making overtures around the world, traveling. Just recently, the prime minister traveled to the Vatican. Mm-hmm. Spoke with the Pope, and what he spoke about the environment and the climate crisis in this area and how it is impacting us. I believe that our Prime Minister has committed create programs to join in on programs. This program, similar to what Rick Fox, the ambassador, our ambassador to, what Rick Fox ambassador to, or he's ambassador at large?
At large, I think.
He's ambassador at large, right? Where he has established a company, right? Where this company is creating some type of cement blocks.
Cement composite.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I like when you give detail, you start and you stop. Cement blocks, right? And this cement blocks traps, pulls out carbon out of the air, mm-hmm. right? Where we as a environmentally conscious nation will benefit in the long run. Mm-hmm. One of the benefits they said that you don't, because of our weather, it makes the cement harder, tougher, stronger, some kind of word that way, right? And that this will decrease overall costs in terms of renovating in general. That's the gist I've got out of it. But before we change topics, I want to ask you, and Ian, do you know where the house they built the demi house? What do you call that?
A model.
They built a model someplace.
Right. And so if you go to the Partana website, right?
What's Partana, by the way?
So Partana is the name of the company, Partana Global. In fact, I'm going to read from an article on their website. Here's a headline, here's a title, Home for the World, the World's First Climate Resilient Carbon Negative Home Unveiled in the Bahamas. That's the 16th of October from the Partana Global website. In a monumental stride for sustainable housing, Partana Global has unveiled the world's first climate resilient carbon negative home for the world in Nassau, Bahamas. So it's called Home for the World, right? By substituting carbon intensive Portland cement with a unique blend of natural and recycled ingredients activated by brine, that's the seawater part there, Partana's technology forms chemical compounds that interact with and capture atmospheric CO2. The 1,250-square-foot home will actively remove and avoid 182.6 metric tons of CO2, equivalent to the annual CO2 absorbed by 5,200 mature trees. So
that's big. One house
will absorb the same amount of carbon dioxide as 5,200 mature trees.
So this is revolutionary. This is a big thing for the Bahamas if we can get this off the ground. And this is something that we can tote. By the way, this is going to be the first residential area that is only built by this product. So we, if this comes about,
the Bahamas will be the model.
The model.
Right. So not just we have the model home, we'll be the model for this type of development.
For the world. Yeah. For the world. Yeah. So this is big news if we're able to bring this about. And we now knowing that one house is equivalent to 500.
5,200. Over 5,200.
5,000?
5,000
trees?
500 mature trees.
We don't have to plant no tree in no place in the Bahamas. Anyway, no, go ahead.
Pause, sir.
We don't need to plant no more trees.
No, you didn't say that.
No, I didn't say that.
No, those aren't the words coming out of your mouth.
Because I see the...
We need trees.
The office of the Prime Minister's spouse. Spouse of the Prime Minister.
She on a tree planting
And I say, man, she need to build a house. That's 5,000 trees.
No, she need to build a house and a tree in every
yard. Every yard.
At least one.
So that'd be 5,000 trees plus 201. With a tree in the house. It's one time, though.
No, man. You need trees.
But to finish the article.
See, because you can need the tree to cool down the home.
You can need the trees to eat.
All right, so compared to a standard concrete-built home, which generates 70.2 tons of CO2 on production, the innovative home for the world is the first of 1,000 planned homes announced in partnership with the Bahamian government.
And I want to know, what does that mean, Aaron?
Okay,
right, so and already see we try to analyze this. I thought we was going to do this later on. But when you say you partnership with the government, well, what is Ambassador Rick Fox trying to do?
I don't know what he's trying to do except save the world. It's a good project, right? I like it. But let me pull... Oh, boy. Let me pull from the article, man. Because,
I want to jack and say one thing, Aaron. I only want to know what is the cost of these...
That's a great place to stick a pin when you go to the article Home for the World, the world's first climate resilient, carbon negative home unveiled in the Bahamas on Partana Global's website. In that article, at the bottom, one of the headlines is about the homes. And this is what the website and the article says. These homes are primed for primarily first-time homeowners in the Bahamas, pre-qualified by the government. Now,
so is that low-cost homes? When you say pre-qualified, I mean the government is making low-cost homes. Right?
When you say pre-qualified by the government, I infer from that you're using the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation to offer the loans, right?
For the housing. Right.
If you're using the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, then that means that it have to be only Bahamians.
And it has to be low-cost homes.
Only Bahamians can access this mechanism, and it must be within a particular price range. Well, let's pause there. The Bahamas Mortgage Corporation was formed to provide access to mortgages for Bahamians that would not qualify for the same terms.
Single mothers.
No. Pause. For the same terms in bank. So the cost of the home is the same, but you as a buyer don't have to meet the same criteria that the Canadian bank or the traditional bank demands. The Bahamas Mortgage Corporation allows you to access a loan with lower criteria, right? So it doesn't necessarily mean that the home will cost less, but it implies to me that this is for Bahamians only, because if it's pre-qualified by the government, then I assume you're going through the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, and you could only do that for Bahamians.
I'm thinking now a low-cost government house is about $120,000, thereabouts, $90,000 to $150,000.
Bump up a little bit more.
It can't be more than our homes.
They're like $140,000 and can go anywhere to $180,000.
I'll say up to $180,000.
Because they have some two-story, they got some three bedrooms, they got some larger homes.
They got three and two bedrooms.
Yeah. So let's call it from $100,000 to $150,000 as average for this conversation.
$130,000 to $180,000.
Okay. $130,000, right? So how many homes does the ambassador plan to build? Because I know we're in a housing crisis, and I'm trying to see if this is the answer to the housing crisis? Is this what our government is committed to help in terms of houses and the environment?
Is that the thrust of the partnership, right? Because we're still trying to determine exactly where does the partnership lie. The article says, the innovative home for the world is the first of 1,000 planned homes announced in partnership with the Bahamian government. So it appears as if they intend to build 1,000.
So that's a community.
In this first iteration.
Several communities. So I'm assuming 1,000 homes is within 5 years, 10 years, what?
No timeline.
So that could be like for eternity.
But the article does say further details on plans to deliver a further 29 properties alongside information about future production facilities in the Bahamas are expected in the early part of 2024.
So I say further information or the houses would be built in 2024?
Further details on plans.
On the plans, not building the house. Further, so we have no idea if the house is going to be built, but plans are in the future to come next year sometime about building 30 more.
The details of the plan will be revealed to us in the early part of 2024.
That's not like an FDX.
Let's talk about what the potential benefit, let's talk about what the potential partnership would look like.
Would look like that. Because, I want to reiterate that this is a good idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea, especially maintaining the environment. I'm just want to get details. Where can I go to see this home?
I still have not been able to determine the location of the home.
Is it a secret?
From the article. I'm just telling you, I read the article several times, and there's a picture now. There's a picture of the home.
So it exists.
Apparently it exists. So there's a picture of the home, and then there's a picture of Rick Fox standing in front of the home.
Did anyone buy this house, or is one of those show houses where
that's
you said
a
no?
Demo. That's
you
a
can't.
Demo.
You can't live there, but you can go and walk through.
That's a walk-through house.
I imagine it's a model. It's a demo.
It's a model.
Yeah,
so
for people to walk through. Yeah.
What it look like from a 3-bedroom.
But
to
let's
2-bedroom
get back to what the potential partnerships are. Right? What could be. What would it look like? So
I mean, but the minute they said they partnered with the Bahamas government, and we talk about pre-approvals and all that have to be through the Mortgage Corporation or Awak Homes. I don't know, because I've seen
Awak Homes is not government. That's a private
that's not government.
We have seen the Awak Homes build something.
They partner with the government. This group will also be partnering
so
with the government.
We're not sure if everybody's going to be tied into this building project.
Right, and see, we don't even know who will construct the homes, because right now what I'm thinking is that Partana creates the raw material, not the raw material, but the composite material. They provide the blocks to build a home. That doesn't mean they're going to actually construct the home, right? So, what does the partnership look like at that level? Are you providing the blocks, and then local contractors work with your team, so you show them how this new type of block is to be used? And then they build the homes, right? The second question is, of course, we talked about it, this pre-qualified by the government. Does this mean then that people who have been marginalized from housing now have an opportunity to access A, housing, B, this new model of housing?
Of course not.
Here's what it got me really excited. When I heard the term, and I lost it already, when we mentioned Brian, the process, and let me read it again, about Partana's technology. Partana's technology harnesses the power of chemistry to both prevent and remove CO2 emissions. Instead of using Portland cement, it uses a special blend of natural and recycled ingredients. The technology uses brine to activate a pozzolanic binder. This process creates chemical compounds that react with carbon dioxide in the air. This mixture is then cured at room temperature, avoiding the energy-intensive clinkering process associated with traditional cement production. As the CO2 dissolves into the mix, it helps create a novel type of binding. It serves the same purpose as traditional cement, These reactive compounds then continue to absorb CO2 throughout Partana's building materials life cycle.
Aaron, all of that talk is good in terms
Let me tell you what this makes me think about. I think when I read that, I thought about two things.
FTX?
No. I did not, sir. Not yet. The first is, you ever been to North Andrus? And you've been to Nichols Point, Mastic Point?
Yeah, Mastic Point.
Nichols Town, Mastic Point. Mm-hmm. The old dock. There. If you're a student and you've been on a tour of North Andrus, they take you to the dock that is made out of conch shell, lime, old rock. You can even see fossils. You can see fossils in the old rock. That's how old the rock is. That man-made dock, I think it's that man-made dock only gets stronger, right? Meguana, the land outgrows the water. Yeah? Most places we're looking at water rising and covering up docks. Meguana, the land outrunning the water.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I think about is a trip I took to the Jolta Keys. If y'all don't know the Jolta Keys, that's in North Andrus. The Jolta Keys did not exist when Christopher Columbus sailed through these waters. The Jolta Keys exist because of a break in the barrier reef. And the high energy water that comes through the break, as opposed to over the reef, pushes the Uitixia above the salt water. And when the fresh water and the air hits the Uitic sand, it hardens into rock, strong rock, right? So there's three things I thought about when I read that little blurb. I know it make you think of FTX, but it make me think of something else, right? And it made me ask the question, is the partnership between Partana and the Bahamian government access to aragonite and Uitic sand? And is that the secret ingredient in this new composite of cement that that prevents and sequesters CO2?
It's an interesting question, right? Because I when they say they're creating a manufacturing plant, I did not anticipate they have access to our sand. I thought whatever they bring in, they bring in everything from foreign and they're building it. But part of concrete is sand. So that more likely they would need a permit to get access to whatever raw materials.
Yeah, but do you need a permit if you partner in with the government?
Of course not.
I mean,
they would already have it.
Of course you do. Even if you formally partner in without a permit, and you need an EIA, and you need an EMP, even if you formally partner in with the government, these things have to be produced, made public. And we go through the proper processes. I was just cracking a joke. Of course they need a permit. I just saying. That's what I thought about.
Aaron, my real issues is this. We're talking about screening or vetting persons in terms of pre-approvals or being approved for mortgages, right?
Yeah.
We have a large percentage of government workers that have been paying rent consistently, but will not be approved for a first-time home in our own country.
That's another major issue.
Hold on, I ain't finished yet. We have already had Doreen. So if we're thinking about building now, don't you think we should have been thinking now going up rather than just being flat?
Well, when you say going up, you mean the Acklands model where you get a second story at least.
A third.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and do you see that thinking reflected in any government policies?
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you heard anybody say anything to suggest that that's what they're thinking?
I'm still looking in terms of, we know that we are in a belt where hurricanes come mostly every year. We've seen what happened during Matthew when all those persons came up to New Providence.
Yep.
Investment in terms of if there is a catastrophic hurricane that takes place in one of those islands, what do we do next? And let's not wait till that happens. And then figure out, what do we do then?
Ian,
it's crazy.
Ian, do you know where a hurricane shelter is?
Don't say the gym, because that open.
I mean, a shelter that has been...
Don't say the gym.
I'm Bailey Jimmy.
Because the last time I checked, we had people had to hire tents for people to sleep on the outside. I mean, so... tell me what you're talking about.
So when we talking about...
Or you mean Nassau Beach Hotel? I mean, we don't have that anymore. So let's embrace this.
And the question is, do we have a single building in New Providence, any family island that was built, specifically designed to operate as a hurricane shelter.
Dear government, there is a hotel that is for sale on the corner of Carmichael and Faith Avenue. I think it's called Corner Motel.
It is flood there.
I think it's called Corner Motel.
Yeah.
And it has means to go up also. I think we should be able to purchase that.
I got you. Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
Couple of texts.
Go ahead.
Wow, Texter, I can't read that. Answer to the question is no. Aaron is making stuff up. Don't use bad language, man. You throw me off my game. Only one construction company could build homes in the Bahamas.
No, first person being facetious, right? Because we have a number of construction houses and companies that are building houses. Now, I understand what the intent of this government in terms of having a product, a carbon product or a carbon reducing product that we can adopt and build our houses with, especially something that is strong as what they suggest it is, right? And taking out carbon out of the air. It's something to be proud of, something to adopt. But I just don't have enough information. I would love to see the house. I would love to tap on the cemented type material to see how strong it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I would like to
see the wear and tear that someone is living inside the house, and a year from now, they say, but I'd be living inside here and it works well, right? I would like to know how much does a house made of this material will cost for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. I would like that to do. Mm-hmm. I would like to know which company will be building these houses in mass. And when I say mass, the start date, the end date, is there a demand? I know there's a narrative that there's a demand for housing, affordable housing, but we know that there's no such thing as affordable houses in the Bahamas. Right, and they're not answering the crisis of house shortage in terms of making affordable apartments available to Bahamians. So all of that is a concern to me.
No, man, absolutely, and I it made me realize that this conversation I don't think was actually for Bahamians. See, I was online researching social medias, and I saw this quote from our prime minister. I'm gonna read the quote quickly for you, and that's what started my journey, and that's where I found this article. And the quote, the Honorable Philip Davis, KC Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, expressed, quote, standing on the forefront of climate peril, we Bahamians have always been bound by as we unveil the world's first carbon negative concrete home right here in Nassau, it is a testament that the answers to our global crises often come from those most affected. The cement-free marvel not only absorbs CO2, but thrives when exposed to seawater. I am immensely proud that it is a Bahamian entrepreneur leading the revolution, showing the world that when we say time is running out, we also mean it's time to build anew. We are not just the front line of climate change, we are the front line of solutions, close quotes. I don't know where he said that. Like, I assume from the language he was in the Bahamas, right? Because he says the concrete home right here in Nassau. It suggests that he's in the Bahamas when he was saying that.
Right.
But who was he speaking to? See, I don't think he was speaking to us, Mr. Nuri. I appreciate your questions, right? Because those are all sound questions. But it's now my turn to tell you, your questions are too early because he wasn't addressing us, the Bahamian people.
So who was he addressing?
I don't know.
The wider world.
I don't know who he was addressing, but it wasn't us.
The wider world.
I'm sure it wasn't us.
But
right, which I'm hoping we could segue in a moment, maybe not right away.
No, I appreciate this conversation, and I'm.
We got the same headline: PM recommits to citizenship bill. Prime Minister Philip Davis said yesterday the government is working to eliminate the inequality in the transmission of Bahamian citizenship, including the granting of citizenship to children born outside the country to married Bahamian women and their non-Bahamian husbands. You know where he said this?
Where did he say this? Out of the country?
No, but almost. Might as well have been out of the country. He said this at Diplomat Week at Bahama Convention Center. He wasn't talking to Bahamians
He wasn't talking to Bahamians.
Again.
And we find that a number of policies are announced in foreign jurisdiction, speaking to a foreign audience about us locally.
Yeah.
And that, praise God, that the media pick it up. Or we would not have known.
We have no idea
that this is happening. And it's a trend. It happens again and again and again with our prime minister.
So is Nintendo borrow more money? I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, no. We're talking about the citizenship bill. But you want to talk about this FTX.
Hello.
Bad.
But I see we have a caller, too.
Yeah.
Producer, patch the caller through so we can engage them, too. Good morning, caller. How are you doing?
Hey, morning. What's up, Messi?
Doing well, man. Blessings to you.
you know, whenever the government, let me say governments with an S, announces these kind of partnership or announces these kind of, make these kind of announcements, we all always should approach it to see who's benefiting from it. Who's going to be the importer? Who's going to be the supplier? Who's going to be the builder? Who has connection to these companies? You know, and the hypocrisy with the government talking about its footprint in the world in reference to the environment. The government could fix that overnight. The government could start putting solar panels and wind terminals in every government building. That would reduce its footprint dramatically. They don't need no special blocks. They don't need no special concrete. You could start taking the government buildings off of BC and then encourage homeowners to do the same by lowering the duty rate or removing the duty rate or making it affordable for homeowners to use solar or wind energy. So it's always questionable when government make an announcement like this, when they should be leading the way, and when there are things that they can do immediately to clean up their carbon footprint in the world.
Thank you.
I think I can continue to listen.
Thank you very much. And mind you, you and I have had a discussion before, Aaron, in terms of our prime ministers as around the world, but there has not been any local footprint showing his commitment, our commitment, to saying that we no longer do this. We have started this. So when this announcement that we are committed to this new concrete type thing, I say, finally, we are putting our money where our mouth is, mm-hmm. that we are going to be committing to something. Now, mind you, I agree with the caller saying, how come we just don't solarize a couple of things? How come
you,
we don't put some
why.
Policies here and there to say, see, we are doing what we practicing what we preach. Mm-hmm. Just that we, even though we're traveling, even though we're lobbying, even though we're meeting with the Pope and not talking about God, but at least we could be doing something tangible.
You want BPL to, you want BEC to implode. I think what this is a legacy issue.
Aaron, I want to say one or two things. Look at on Carmichael Road. We have a project housing that is being developed there now currently, right? I think about 200 houses is being erected. They're not concrete walls all around. I've seen some of them go around on those. Look like they use Duroc or so forth around the basis of them.
Is that hitting the hurricane? Is that hitting the building code?
I'm saying what I saw. This is about 200 houses being erected, and they're not all concrete all around. I think the only they pour the corners, and everything else is like metal, literally metal. Some have latches, some doesn't have latches. If you know anything about meddling, these are new prefab kind of homes that they're building now, what they call affordable. But my thing is that if government owns the land, we're calling the land Crown land. Government has the ability to bring in the material that is needed to build at cost, right? Whatever they cost, even cheaper, right? Then we're looking at why aren't the prisoners doing the blocks like they once did for all government projects? Would it also bring down the cost of even what it costs to build these things? So we're looking at...
Is that slave labor?
No, we're looking at... You're awarded to the state. That's what they call you.
No, to the state. Prison is about restricting the freedom of movement. That's all prison is supposed to be.
But you're awarded to state. That's semantic. It's just cheaper to do it in private enterprise. It's still cheaper overall and...
I highly doubt that.
Yeah,
I think if
efficiency in equipment. Unless we plan to invest in the best equipment, the equipment...
But they were doing it before. They didn't have an issue.
And we found out that it's cheaper for the private enterprise.
They were making the plates too, and then road traffic out all the plates.
We found a way to make it cheaper.
But now they don't have them on time.
That's a different issue. But let's go back to to this equality. What is it that you're reading?
PM recommits to citizenship bill and asks immigration minister for citizenship help.
Why is it taking so long? Why is he asking the minister for help when the minister already told us the solution that it doesn't need to be any debate? We can solve this overnight. We can just, because the minister can just make decisions. So everyone is being disingenuous, this constant narrative and making speeches to say, well, I'm working. When in truth, pass the law. If it is that important to you, pass the law. The debate is over. You know, you're circulating the bills.
Pause.
Why are you taking so long to bring it up, bring it across?
What did you just say? If it's that important to you, government, right? therein the answers in the question, if it's that important to you. It don't have to be important to the government. There, see, this is where we get twisted. It matters not how they feel about it. It's the will of the people.
So is it like the marijuana bill?
That still exists? That still exists because here's the thing about the marijuana bill.
Look where you going. You're going off target, man. How you get on to marijuana?
I mean, she started talking with bills, man. She said bills are just
okay.
Something in my head.
So, Mr. Nuri, what you're saying is the government should just need to pass the law and people in the interim shouldn't stress out because they can rely on the relief indicated by the former Minister of Immigration and the now Foreign Affairs Minister, Mr. Fred Mitchell. In this article, Ask Immigration Minister for Citizenship Help, Minister Fred Mitchell said, until legislators amend the Bahamas Nationality Act, people affected by discriminatory citizenship laws should apply to the Minister of Immigration for relief. His comments to reporters came after PM Davis said his administration is committed to equalizing citizenship access for men and women, though he gave no timeline. Mr. Mitchell noted that Attorney General Ryan Pinder has talked about amending citizenship laws. He then offered what he said was a practical solution to the problem. We're quoting Fred Mitchell here. Quote, when we were in office, immigration minister, and we announced, close quotes, as a policy of immigration matters, open quotes, that women whose children were born in those circumstances could utilize Section 6 of the Bahamas Nationality Act, which says that the minister may grant citizenship to any minor, full stop. Without qualification, the minister can grant citizenship to any minor, close quotations.
But what does that have, how does that impact men, especially after the Privy Council ruling that children of Bahamian men are entitled to citizenship just like women? Can we apply to the same policy, the same act to the minister, and those men, children, are allowed to get citizenship?
I appreciate your question because at the beginning of the quote, he says that women whose children were born in those circumstances could utilize Section 6 of the Bahamas Nationality Act, which says that the minister may grant citizenship to any minor. Without qualification, the minister can grant citizenship to any minor. Now, after reading that, Mr. Nuri, I am under the impression that it also applies to the instance where a Bahamian man says, I had this child out of wedlock. It is my child. I want the child to be registered as a citizen. I think we require clarity on that matter because the words are clear. Without qualification, the minister can grant citizenship to any minor. And what I wanted to of that statement and whether it's true or not, if it is true, what does that mean? What does it mean to children of undocumented migrants born in the Bahamas? What does it mean to children born in the Bahamas with one Bahamian parent and one parent without status? But that's the music. It means it's time to go to a break. You're on the Guardian Radio AM on the clock, Man Down, Mashup Wednesday session. Joining us is Ian Munnings. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
It's the Battle of the Bra, sponsored by Canoe, and you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. You close that door there for me, right? I can't hear myself, but I'm assuming I own. I have a text here. It says, good morning. The issue of children born to Bohemian man and foreign woman is already... There is no need for clarity or application. They can go to the passport office and get their passport. So this is something I wasn't clear about. And now I need a Bohemian, listening Bohemian audience to know that if you are a Bohemian man, right, and you had children with a foreign woman, that issue has already been settled. There's no need for no application for your child. You just need to go to the passport office with your child. I assume you need to carry some kind of DNA to make sure that's your child. And just get your passport. That child is Bohemian. That child is Bohemian. I wonder if the child has to be born in the Bahamas. Right? If you were a Bohemian man and you had a child with a Jamaican woman, a Haitian woman, American woman, right, unmarried. Does that child have to be born in the Bahamas? Or can I be living in the United States and I had a child and I could bring my child over and say, man, you have Bohemian citizenship. That is, see, I get an extra text now saying, no, they cannot go to the passport office, right? The right news, and I get texts all over the place. But I'll have my texters text me the information. I'd be happy to read it on. And so we can have maybe the minister come on and explain that for me, right? Because I find that interesting. But let's talk about convention. The PLP convention is about 2 weeks, a week and a half away. And I know Aaron had some concern that the convention should not be before the by-election. And I've said, that's semantics, man. Let the people them have their convention, right? Let them have their convention. I'm just saying, what should we expect at the convention, and so that's my conversation now. What should we be expecting? Should we expect the chairman to be challenged?
If any seat is being contested, or there's a certain seat?
Well, every seat except I guess leader
or chairman.
No, Chairman could be contested. You could just contest Chairman at any time, any kind of time. I know there's an issue about the new rule that if you contest him for leadership, and I assume that if you contest him for leadership, you need to have I'm not sure about the PLP's constitution, but to contest for leadership of the party, you need to have an MP seat, maybe. And I see that people are concerned that there's a new rule that says that you need to have a certain amount of money to contest for of the party. So I found that interesting. And I know there was a debate and people said, oh, that's unfair and that any poor person should be able to contest for leadership. And I said, man, if you ain't got no money to press a campaign, you shouldn't run. You could become an MP. But leadership, you should have a certain amount of money because you need to put your skin in the game. You need to put your shoulder to the wheel. And if you cannot make things happen on your own to attract investors to invest in the party, then you shouldn't go as leader, right? In contrast to the FNM, right? Because their leader is not a wealthy man. I guess he's doing well enough, but he's not a wealthy man.
Which one of the leaders?
Only one leader they have inside the FNM. That one just trying to do, just trying pushing against the tide. But my point is, since the 2021 election, I think the FNM had about 4 different stakeouts. Every week they have a stakeout in order to pay bills. And I'm saying, now if they had a wealthy leader, we're talking about the Aaron Green's back in studio. We're talking about the convention, the planned convention of the PLP, and whether whoever vying for leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party
should be financially secure, stable.
And I'm proposing that, yes, you need to be a millionaire to be a leader of the Progressive Liberal Party or any political party. Or if you don't have that millions of your own, you should have the ability to access millions. And I give an example, juxtaposed a Free National Movement Party, right? And they're, for some reason, having stakeout every other week. It don't look good. It just don't look good.
It looked better than what you just said.
It looked a lot better than what you just said. It looked like they did have to do a dollar for day like that third party.
It depends on what type of political model that you're looking for. Because the model that you describe...
Not no dollar a day.
With the model that you describe does a couple of things. First of all, it takes real, actual participation in politics out of the purview of the ordinary Bahamian. To suggest that to be a leader of the party, A, you got to have millions or you got to be able to find millions, right, is to create a power hierarchy that removes the average person from active politics. Now, as a leader, you need to have the ability to be able to generate funds. You need to be able to create mechanisms that can legitimately and transparently generate funds. But to suggest that you got to be able to find millions when you need it, if we are perpetuating a dangerous model that we should already see the evidence of.
I see the evidence. I have no problem with it, no, Aaron. I just don't like poor people. See, recently we had a wannabe politician come into an impoverished constituency, talk about he don't have no stove and he have no fridge. He's no longer an option. What are you bringing to the table? if you can't bring the ham and turkey, then bring a table at least, or a place to put the ham and turkey in, right? So you can't be telling me before the election start, don't ask you for no ham, no fridge and no stove. So what I have you here during this crucial time, during this big election? This is an important election, you know. This is a by-election. Money, we expect money to be
money
spent.
Spending, money spending.
B-Y.
Money spending.
B-I? It's either B-I or B-Y or B-Y-E, but it ain't a B-U-Y.
See, the comparison I think he made with the opposition.
Absolutely.
He was saying that now the current leader of the opposition, every week, he said they was on full-fledged having, you said stakeout or South South? It was either both. It was both. See, eh? Yeah. It was stakeout or there was cookouts or what was
they had a big fair. They had about three or four big fairs trying to raise money to pay bills.
And the former one before that, he had those things going on?
No, he had money. He could take that money in his back pocket. You know, just pay for the whole thing. Well, you know? So I think moving forward, whoever's the leader of any party needs to be financially secured in order to propel the
party. Well, you can't be, see, here's the thing, you can't be bankrupt and be in the House, right? So
you shouldn't.
No, you can't. As soon as you declared bankrupt, you're supposed to remove yourself. You're supposed to be gone. You're supposed to do the honorable thing.
You're talking about leader or MP?
All of them. You do the honorable thing. If you're bankrupt, you do the honorable thing. You say, look here, in next month, I could be bankrupt. I might as well pack it up today. Like, let's not waste any time. You can't come in bankrupt. You can't be bankrupt and do this thing.
This tech to say they need a fridge and a stove now. I need a fridge and a stove now. And what I don't even live.
The order what type of stove?
So y'all enjoy. No, y'all enjoy.
What type
this,
of fridge?
Y'all enjoy.
I just want one with new. I need a new fridge.
Y'all enjoy this type of
hold
politics.
On,
so it's the voter that's perpetuating this model of politics and governance.
Just because you wouldn't take the fridge don't mean that I don't want the fridge. See, I want the fridge.
I remember a particular candidate when it was time to say what
this is why Miss Leslie Miller
when they say what their network was, they started to use the trees in the yard. And I think he said this network was somewhere in the vicinity of about 500,000 based on the shoes he had in the closet. I was trying to figure out if that's what you're talking about.
Let's go to the caller. I just miss Leslie Miller because Leslie Miller would have brought ham and turkey. And I just say, at least that. You know, I can't. Go ahead, caller.
Leslie,
you can hear me. I can't hear you inside the studio yet. Okay, go ahead.
Listen. I was listening to you all, and you're talking about you need to have money. The campaign itself will dictate who, in most cases, will be able to run the gauntlet. I don't think it should just be to somebody that has money. That is why we're in so much trouble now. People have money, don't care about the ball. So therefore, let somebody run until their money run out. Any citizen of this country should be able to run for the prime minister. Now, if their money run out during the campaign, well, it runs out. But they should have the opportunity to run like anybody else. And that is why the rich would always be in power with us. Because why? They have the money to give away ham and turkey. If somebody come and say he don't have it to give ham to soap, that's the man I want to vote for. He's a real man.
No, that can't be no real man. Woman don't even like broke man.
But he's going to try his best. Give people the opportunity. It's just like in school. When you go to school, you don't just deal with the smart children. You try to educate the children that are not so bright. Give everybody a fair chance to run in this country. This ain't no one set of people country.
That's right,
I appreciate you, sir.
So you could imagine you come to my house, but you giving me a stove and you give me an electric stove in Nassau. In Nassau, where they can't keep the power on,
just
you give
me
a no-gas
Aaron,
stove.
Aaron, call me and I come and collect it for you.
Right?
You
would give me a stove in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, where not only can they not keep the power on, but they can't regulate the power flow. So when the power goes off, it surge and burn up all your equipment.
Aaron, I need no chat.
It have an electric stove. So when the power go off on Christmas, because everybody baking,
I would see a
my ham half done.
Give me the stove and the fridge, and I'll find a generator.
Whatever. That's what I have to go. When I was in school,
you hear that? Give me the
Aaron,
stove or the fridge, and
Aaron,
I can find a generator because the Aaron, BPL. These boy them have y'all in a storm.
Aaron, the caller said
a
you don't concentrate on just the smart people in the school, but you concentrate on all. I found out when I was in school, the smart children always get to go on the field trip. The dumb ones stay in school. I won't go on the field trip.
I can be one of the smart ones.
You ain't
I went on every field trip I had. I missed school like crazy. Because I won the smart ones. Them said who's the smart? Let them stay in school. I want my politician to have some dollars. Just in case I need an extra ham and turkey for Christmas.
He can make something happen.
He can make something happen.
What I found over the last several...
If I have a funeral, I won't be able to say, send them $5,000.
What I found over the last several administrations is we found politicians with lots of dollars, but so little sense.
Because the sense don't add up.
This is the politics y'all
sense.
Enjoy.
No, sense don't add up.
I think the Bahamian people are looking at it from a different perspective. I think they're looking at it from a perspective that we know that when in this politics or this region of politics, that the politicians have come in, they came into politics, some of them with $40,000, $50,000. At the end of their tenure, they have millions of dollars. They're not saying that these people ain't going to do what they're going to do. But I think what the general consensus of the people are, just give me Me Too, cuz. You don't mind what
so
you're doing.
So the general
just
consensus to the people is we don't care
just give me me.
About the corruption once you get me
just
straight.
Just give me me.
Is this the type of politics that we want?
But this is the kind of politics that's here. The Bahamas was pirates at one point.
Yeah,
in
but
time.
You remember
they
when
were boat runners
I remember
at one
when
time.
Corinne
now
Mitchell looked at
now.
Me. Ian, I remember when Corinne Mitchell looked at me and say, so if all the people get on Potoskey Bridge and jump off, you would just follow them and jump off?
It depends what they're jumping off for, because if it's a mad shooter, I'm jumping off.
That's what you jumping off for? Because some politicians tell you that's the only way to get to land is to jump off the bridge?
Well, Aaron, you have a decision to make. Whether you can eat today or die tomorrow, which one you going to do?
I tell
but
you,
I would ask.
Thank you for cutting this off. Oh, because I was going to say something,
Aaron,
about how integrity tastes so good.
We got a caller.
We have a caller. Let's pass the caller. But Aaron, what should we expect this PLP convention? What do you think is going to happen? I think there's going to be some challenges. I think the challenge is going to be for the chairmanship and those lesser positions.
But you need not apply for that.
I don't think there's going to be no challenge for the leadership, even though I think everything is on the table.
See, yeah, they say two positions not to apply for, the leadership and the chairman. That's
no, man, they
I
didn't
heard.
Say that. No,
I've
no,
heard
no, no,
that.
No, no, no.
I've heard it from the ground.
No, that ground swell.
No, no, the ground swell. The two some positions they need not to
let's go to the caller.
Those two positions.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, go in once.
I am calling. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is directed to Aaron. Yes. That she has so much to offer. And by the way, you're having a very good show. She has so much to offer. Why doesn't she offer herself to run in the 2026 election and try to see if she could get to the parliament so that she could pass on some of the knowledge that she has? I know another person in the community who, like Aaron, is a very knowledgeable gentleman, but he would not offer himself. He would just get on the talk shows and spout across the nation what his suggestions are. People like that should become involved and to offer what they, you know, whatever they could for the betterment of the country and for all of us.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I want to treat your compliment respectfully. I'm going to tell you all a quick story. Prior to the snap election, I reach out to the DNA. Even I think it was even the 2017. I said, let me.
He's going to run? What did
no,
he say?
I told them, let's just sit and talk. Let me give you some words. I can give you 2 hours for free and then tell me if you think it's worth paying for the rest of my time.
Make it quick. We're going to go.
They had to go too. You see where they are now, right?
They didn't listen to you
so
at all.
Get ready. So there's going to be a poodle and a cat fight.
Anyway, we got to go. This has been Guardian Rearing the AM with C.A. Neary. Thank you very much, Aaron Crane. Thank you very much, Ian Munnings. And this election is not going to be about buying votes. Vote for integrity. Don't let no one bribe you.
And just a quick note on the citizenship issues, right? Please take the time to read those articles yourself. You know, it requires deep introspection.
A fridge and a stove can make something big.
No, ladies. Anyway, have a beautiful day. Take care.